The book of Numbers, the second chapter, we'll read verse 1 and verse 2. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, Every man of the children of Israel shall pitch by his own standard, with the ensign of their father's house, far off about the tabernacle of the congregation shall they pitch. Let us pray. Father, again, I thank you for the wonderful, wonderful grace of God. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege of preaching that wonderful grace this morning. How good you've been to us, how wonderful you are. And Lord, our prayer is this morning once again, Lord, if it would be so, someone here is not sure of salvation. Oh, Father, let this be the day that they're born into God's family. I pray for we as Christians this morning also, Lord, that we would learn some truths and help us to love you more and be better for you than we've ever been. Once again, I pray for Bill Shanklin and ask you, God, to help there in that situation. Lord, we just simply pray for the blessed will of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I think it was a couple weeks ago I preached on the subject, declaring our pedigree. In fact, it was from the first chapter of the book of Numbers. We found that they was to stand and declare their pedigree. It says in verse number 16, there were the renowned of the congregation, princes of the tribes of their fathers, heads of thousands in Israel, and Moses and Aaron took these men, which are expressed by the name, and they assembled all the congregation together in the first day of the second month, and they declared their pedigree after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, by their polls. And by their polls there simply means by a head count. Now, the Bible told us they stood and they declared their pedigree. If you remember when we discussed that, we talked about how that every person that is a born-again Christian ought to be able to declare their pedigree. They ought to declare the fact that they are a child of God. They ought to be able to do that by looking back at a time in their life when they've accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And because of that, putting faith and trust in Christ, they now can declare that they are a child of God. And that's a marvelous, wonderful thing. Now, this morning, we're going to bring a message on the standard by which they stand. The standard by which they stand. If you notice in verse number 2, chapter 2, every man of the children of Israel shall pitch by his own standard, with the ensign of their father's house, far off about the tabernacle of the congregation, shall they pitch. We find in the book of Psalms, the 60th chapter of Psalms, it says, Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. If we're God's child, we have a banner to carry. The standard which we're talking about here, if you look it up in the concordance, you'll find out that word standard means a flag or a banner, something that you carry, something that you lift up high. And the Word of God here in this chapter says that we should, and of course they should, establish their standard and stand by their standard. Right after that, we find him giving through that chapter. He tells the children of Israel, the tribes of the children of Israel, how they are to march going through the wilderness. And he sets them aside in certain areas. And in fact, if you'll look at verse 3, it says, And on the east side, I be facing the east. It said on the east side, first of all, there's Judah. There is three sons here on every side. And we find, first of all, Judah. We find in verse number 5, we find Issachar. And we find Zebulun in verse number 3. That is the three tribes that were supposed to pitch and camp on the east side. Then we find on down in the 10th verse on the south side. So we would go then, of course, to this side of the camp. We find that Reuben was one of the tribes. In verse number 12, we find that Simeon was the other one. And we find in verse 14 that Gad was the other one. Three tribes on each side. Well, what's in the center, Brother Ross? Bible tells us down here in verse 17, Then the tabernacle of the congregation shall set forward with the camp of the Levites in the midst of the camp. As they encamp, so shall they set forward every man in his place by their standards. And once again, you find in the middle of all of this, you find the Levite tribe, which was given the responsibility to take down the tabernacle when they was ready to march, and when they stayed in a place for a while, they was to set up the tabernacle. The people of the Levite tribe was the ones who had responsibility for doing that and carrying these instruments that was used for worship. Then on the other side, we find also then in verse number 18, on the west side shall be the standard of the camp of Ephraim. In verse number 20, we see it's Manasseh. And in verse number 23, the tribe of Benjamin. And that is the third side. That is on the west side. We find down in chapter 25, Dan shall be on the north side by their armies. And he says in verse number 2, Asher was the other one. And verse number 29 was Naphtali, was the third one. So there was three tribes on every side, and in the center of that was the tabernacle, the tribe of Levi. You say, Brother Ross, that makes 13. And yes, it does. You'll notice in the scriptures that God divided the tribe of Joseph into two, Ephraim and Manasseh. And then, of course, Levi was the priestly tribe that marched in the middle. They had the tabernacle in the middle, which stood for the wonderful truth that God was in their midst. And they was marching forward with God in their midst. That's what it was all about. That's why it's so sad when you get back to the book of Revelation and you find Jesus outside of the door of the church of Laodicea, knocking to get in. We find him in the first part of that chapter where he's standing in the midst of the seven candlesticks. And the Bible tells us that's the seven churches, right in the midst of them. But at the end of the church age there, we find the Laodicean church, and he says he is on the outside knocking to get in. What a tragedy that is. And so anyway, this was represented here as God in the midst, the tribes of Israel surrounding it and marching. When they was to march, when they was to go forward, this is the way that they did it. Now, to some degree, this is a type. We can use it as a type. It certainly isn't a perfect type. But we can use this as a type of the church in the world. And in that, these Israelites were holding up a standard according to their tribe, something, a flag, a banner that they were carrying for their own tribe. So today is what we want to do is we want to look for a little while about the church and its work in the world today and what it should be doing and what banner it should be holding up. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Whether we realize it or not, Christians are different. Christians are a peculiar people, and that does not mean we're peculiar in our actions to where people would look at us and say, "Isn't he peculiar?" No, it means that we're peculiar unto good works. We are a different people. You see, there's something different about us because we belong to Jesus Christ. And then, of course, Jesus said that he would build his church on this rock. And he also said that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We know Jesus Christ. We know that he is going to build his church. His church. And he builds it on the rock. And that rock is the confession of us that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Savior who died for us. That's how he builds his church. Now, just as God was with Israel in the wilderness, be assured that God is also supplying our needs like he did with the people in the wilderness. God says you are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. We know that we are of God, and God has built a habitation of God in us. And as we live the Christian life, we find out that Jesus Christ will be manifested how? By us living for God and presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now that degree is a little synopsis on the banner that we're to carry. We'll share with you in a few moments what is the banner that we are to carry. What is that banner that we are to go forth with? Now, Israel looked to God during these years, and you will find it over and over in his word, but they looked to him for food, they looked to him for water, they looked to him for clothing and guidance and protection. God was their everything, and they looked to him for that. I just simply want to say, should we look somewhere else except God for ours? Shouldn't we be doing the same thing that the Israelites did, expecting God to provide for them? Is not Jesus the same yesterday and today and forever? Is not Jesus Himself say, Lo, I am with thee always? Did not Jesus, the Son of God, say that to us? Has Christ and His presence, has it ceased being enough for the church? As it did for the Israelites, when they began to look for other things with mixed multitudes and looking back at the onions and the leeks and the garlic and all the things of the old country, and he was unsatisfied with the manna which God sent down from heaven and they wanted meat. Are we like them, and has Jesus Christ ceased to be enough? I say to you, He is everything that man needs. What can I say to the sinner that has a need to be saved? I can say Jesus Christ is the answer. What do I say to the saint who's going through some hard and difficult times and troubles and heartaches? I can say to that saint, Jesus Christ is the answer. What am I to say to the assembly of the saints of God? What do I say to a group of people here that goes out from this place and goes into their lives through the week and does certain things and has certain needs? I say to you, Jesus Christ is your answer. He's everything that we need. So what we want to do here for a little while, I want to show you some things about the banner that we are to display. One little poem, let me give it to you. The man put it very well. I don't know who it was. But it says, Salvation is that name, in that name is found. Cure for all my grief and care. A healing balm for every wound. All I want is there. Everything we need is Christ. The greatest favor that I can do to you this morning, or do for you this morning, is to lift up Christ and point your eyes toward Him. That is my desire this morning. I want you to see Him. I want you to know how wonderful He is. You see, in Christianity today, sometimes we refuse to accept the wonderful power that God has for us. And we go about hewing out cisterns that are broken cisterns that leak, instead of keeping our eyes on the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to call to your attention this morning some of the conflicts that the Christian life has. First of all, if you'll go with me over to the book of Romans, the 7th chapter of the book of Romans. For sake of time, I'm not going to read a whole lot of these verses, but in the 7th chapter of Romans, I'll start reading at verse number 23. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. I want to share something with you this morning that I'm sure most of you are already aware of. I want you to understand that Jesus Christ is enough, and the power of Jesus Christ in us is enough for us to live the Christian life. The Apostle Paul called himself an old wretched man. He realized and understood that he was a wretched man and he needed some help. And he asked the question, what am I? Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And he immediately answers back, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Once again, I want to say to you this morning, you've got troubles, Jesus is your answer. If you need saved, Jesus is your answer. Christian, trust Jesus. Look to Him and seek His will and seek His help and protection for your life. He's the one that has the wisdom to give you to do what you need to do. We find also, of course, over in the book of Galatians, if you'll turn there with me just for a few moments, the book of Galatians. Seems as though in verse chapter 7 of the book of Romans, we found that Paul was calling himself a wretched man, and he understood that there was only one hope, and that was Jesus Christ the Lord. And we find over in the book of Galatians, the 5th chapter, starting at verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifested, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. We're told in the book of Galatians here of the terrible sins of the flesh. Told that there's no way under the sun that we can overcome those sins in our own power. We are found guilty before God Almighty. The whole world stands guilty before God Almighty. And these are the sins of the flesh. But when Jesus Christ comes in to live and His Spirit comes in to live inside each and every one of us, He says in verse 22, here is the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. In other words, this is the fruit that God wants to bring forth and manifest in our life. So you see, there is the power of the flesh. Yes, a terrible power of the flesh. But our God that lives within us is much greater. He's more powerful than flesh and the devil all put together. God just wants us to know that that new nature that He puts within us is a new nature, the Holy Spirit of God, and with it comes the power to live the Christian life. You say, Brother Ross, in other words, I can be perfect. No, you'll never be perfect. But don't ever start blaming the fact that you have a sin nature on doing wrong when you're doing wrong. Don't you blame that. Don't you ever do that. God, if you're a Christian, inside you is the power to live the Christian life. And when we do not do that, we need to cry out to God and ask for His forgiveness and cleanliness and ask Him to help us and to go forward and ask Him to help us with this thing that so easily besets us. I'm simply saying, folk, God expects us to live holy as He is holy. Does He not? He expects that out of us. We're living in a time in the church when the church does not want too much about holy living. They just simply want to come most of the time, get tickled a little bit on their ears, and go home and feel good about their ungodliness. I just want to tell you something. I don't intend to help you feel good about your ungodliness. I intend to help you to feel bad about your ungodliness so you'll get to an altar of prayer somewhere, either in this church or in your home or somewhere, and get down before God and say, I'm sorry, Father, ask you to forgive me, and I'm going to start doing right again. Remember, confession of sin is just not the confession of the act. It is seeing sin as God sees it. When we confess our sin to God, we are saying, God, I agree with you 100%. That's exactly what I am. And that's exactly what I've done. I've sinned. Please forgive me and cleanse me. And then you turn from it. See, that's what it's all about. You see, that's how God keeps us in line. When we fail, we do things we ought not to do, God knocks on our door of our heart, says, son, get that straightened out. We look up to God and say, God, you're right. I'm an old rotten sinner. I done this or I done that. Please forgive me. Cleanse me, see. Help me, you see, to live for you. And then we go forward to live for you, for Him. Now, I just say to you folks, listen, if you don't have any desire to love God, you don't have any desire to live for God, there's something wrong in here. There's just something wrong. Well, I want to tell you something. When Jesus Christ comes in, the Holy Spirit of God comes in, the Holy Spirit will be knocking on our door at a daily time, daily basis, and be telling us that we need to do this, we need to do that, this is right to do, that's not right to do. That's the way the Holy Spirit of God does us. Now, if He doesn't do you that way, I would just say to you, you better get saved, because the Holy Spirit does the same to everybody. He does it to you, He does it to me, He does it to every individual. God just knocks on our door, doesn't He? Yes, He does. Many times you had to go to your knees and say, God, forgive me, I'm so sorry. You see, and that's what God is waiting, you see, for us to do. So what He's simply saying is here, we find victory in Jesus. That's where your victory's at. Don't use the fact that you have an old sin nature as an excuse to sin. There's victory in Jesus. You may sin, but there's victory in Jesus, you see. And you ought never, ever to forget that. Over in the book of Ephesians, please, the sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians. Once again, we want to start reading at verse number 10. We find, and he says in Ephesians 6, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, you can go ahead and read the rest of that, because it talks about putting on the armor of God. But I want you to understand something. If you never understood it before, you are in a spiritual battle. It is not a battle in flesh and blood. There is sometimes that it happens and takes place in individuals, but the real battle is the spiritual battle against principalities and powers in high places. We are battling a spiritual battle. If you'll get a hold of that, you'll quit blaming your neighbor for all your troubles. You'll quit blaming the other church member for your problems. They are not the problem. He may be using some of those sometimes to bring forth the problem, but it's a spiritual problem. And it's something that we need to realize and we need to face and realize that we are wrestling here not against flesh and blood, as the Word of God says, but He says against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world. These are spiritual battles. And folks, there's never, I don't want to say ever, but we are in a terrible day concerning that. Satan is doing everything he can to bring down Christians and to destroy their testimony. He's doing that, and if you let him do that, shame on you for doing that. Stand in victory in Christ. Be sure that you know Jesus is the victor. He's the one who'll give you victory over all of these things, you see. You see, you can't go to war, as we told you a couple weeks ago, without declaring your pedigree. You say, I don't know, but I want to hang my hat there just a few moments. You say, Brother Ross, I just don't know. It just keeps going through my heart over and over and over. I think I'm saved, and I don't think I'm saved, and all this. What you need to do is nail that thing down. You'll never do anything for God if you don't get that nailed down. You never will do anything for God until you get it nailed down. I'm a child. I'm going to declare my pedigree. I'm a child of God. I'm His. I may not be everything I ought to be, but I'm His, and I know that I was saved. You need to know that in your heart. You see, you need to nail that thing down. You can't fight a war, the spiritual battle, if you can't fight that thing, if you don't know for sure that you're a child of God. You'll never fight it. You see. And He'll always be at you, you see, trying to discourage you, you see. You can't fight that war unless you've declared your pedigree. And you can't fight the war unless you have the power of God in your life to help you to do that, you see. Two things are necessary for the walk with God and the warfare that you're going to fight. Two things. Everybody listening, let's look up here and let's just pay attention. Let's make sure that we know this. First of all, you know your pedigree. Are you a child of God? Not you hope you are. Maybe you are. No, that you know you're a child of God. You've declared your pedigree. Do you know that? Okay. Now you know in your own heart. I can't read your heart. Say, Brother Ross, I can look back. I know a time when I was saved. I know I was saved. I know that for sure. And I'm declaring my pedigree. I'm God's child. Well, something else you need to do is notice this. The second thing you need to know is you need to recognize the standard by which you walk. And I'm not just talking about a standard here of dress or all these other things, but those would be included in the underneath the title I'm going to give you. A standard that you must walk by. A flag that you must hold high. In verses, going back to Numbers, in verse number 2 of the chapter 2 of Numbers, let's look and see what it says once again. Every man of the children of Israel shall pitch by his own standard with the ensign of their father's house. He said they will pitch by his own standard. You see, I'm saying to you that every tribe had a standard. He had something he walked by. We in the United States have a flag. Americans everywhere point to that flag and say that's the flag of the United States of America. All Americans that are truly Americans will look to that flag and give it honor, the honor it deserves. Because that stands for this great nation that God has given. And I'll tell you what, I wouldn't give you 2 cents for someone who would burn a flag. 2 cents for someone would desecrate the flag. I wouldn't give you 2 cents for someone who wouldn't put their hand over their heart as the flag passed by. Take your hat off, put it over your heart as the flag goes by. It's the banner of the United States of America. I remember back when I was in high school, we were called the Fillmore Cardinals. I mean, we had a basketball team and a softball team. We didn't have baseball team back then. We had softball team. And we was the Fillmore Cardinals, you see. And it had a banner with a cardinal on it. And that was standing for Fillmore High School. All of you probably heard of that all across the nation. Fillmore High School. And it had a banner that it flew, you see. And I mean, it flew high. Why? Because it was our standard. It's what we went by, you see. Well, they was to do that. They had a standard, and not only that, they was given certain things that they was to do. They had a work that they would do. The ones in the middle, the Levite family, they took care of the things of the tabernacle. They carried the tabernacle. They had to make sure they'd done everything just right, just perfect. They couldn't touch the ark. They had to put staves through the ark, lift them up on shoulders, and carry it that way. Everything had to be done just perfect, you see. And so they had a standard they stood by, you see. Now, God had them, of course, to camp around this standard, camp around God in being in presence with them, you see. And that's what it stood for. Now, what's our standard? Is it just the doctrine we stand on? Thank God for the doctrine of the Word of God. And we must follow it. In fact, that's one of the main problems we have in Christianity today. They've gotten away from this book. A lot of folk just simply doing whatever they want to do, and they find an excuse somewhere in the Word of God doing it. You know, you can find a lot of excuses in the Word of God if you want to. If you want to take one verse and put it with another verse, you can find all kinds of things. Judas went out and hung himself. I can turn to another portion of Scripture that says, go out and do likewise. I mean, you can make the Word of God say anything you want to. And that's what a lot of folk do with it. They just simply take the Bible and they pick a little here and pick a little there and pick it out. Instead of going through the whole Bible, taking the old Word of God, it is God's Word. Is it some system of ordinances that the church has? Is that our standard? I'm very grateful for the ordinance of baptism. We're going to, Lord willing, here be baptizing someone here in a little while. I'm very grateful for that ordinance. That's one of the ordinances God left us. Amen? Wonderful thing. Wonderful thing. Communion time, Lord's Supper time. Another great ordinance. Another great time when we gather together, take the fruit of the vine and take the bread, and it represents the broken body of Christ and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And we look at that and we partake of that. It means so much to Christians. But is that our standard? Just the communion. Is that our standard? Is my standard that I'm a Baptist? I want to tell you something. I'm glad I'm a Baptist. I'm glad I'm an independent Baptist. Although nowadays I'm kind of getting a little bit ashamed of some of the independent Baptists. But I'm glad I'm a Baptist. I'm glad I'm an independent Baptist, but that's not my standard. Is the church organization our standard? Is that what our standard is? Is some church organization? No, no, no. I want to tell you what our standard is. Our standard is Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's the banner we must live high. We must let everyone know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, who died for their sins and was buried and rose again. Jesus is our standard that we carry with us, should carry with us every day of our life. If you have any other standard that you're carrying, you're wrong. If you carry the standard, and I'm sure you're not here this morning doing that, but if you carry the standard of Buddhism, you're wrong. You're carrying the standard of Mohammedism, you're wrong. You're carrying the standard of Moonism, you're wrong. You're carrying the standard of Jehovah's Witness, you're wrong. You're carrying the standard of Mormonism, you're wrong. The standard is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He's the only standard that we can stand for. We say some of those folk believe Him. No, they don't believe the Bible. They don't believe there's a hell. They don't believe a lot of things about the Bible. We believe that this is the book, the Word of God. Everything in it is God's Word. That's the standard. Jesus, the Son of God, the Word, His Word, the living God, and the Word of God. You see, Jesus Christ, that's our standard. What do you stand for? What's your standard? What flag do you fly? Jesus Christ. Not Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I'm grateful for Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I wouldn't want it to be any other kind of thing, but that's not the standard that we carry. We carry Christ as our standard. And you must go forward carrying that standard, you see. Too many people are battling under different standards. They're holding sometimes baptism as the standard. They're holding sometimes good works as the standard. But let me say something to you folks. Jesus Christ and His shed blood is the standard. Now, in case there'd be somebody sitting there saying, well, then, don't have to worry about my good works, don't have to worry about baptism, don't have to worry about witnessing, don't have to worry about praying, don't have to worry about reading the Word of God, don't have to worry about any of these. If Christ is my standard, I'll just do that. If you carry Christ as your standard, you'll do those other things. You understand me? Somebody sitting there saying, I can get by with doing this and that, and I can still be saved. Hogwarts. If you are saved, you won't want to do those things. It'll make you mad when you do them. You'll get aggravated yourself for sinning. Yes, you will, because the Holy Spirit of God won't let you be happy when you're sinning. See, you can't just do anything you want to, because God won't allow you to do that. He'll make you miserable if you are God, if you're a child of God. You understand what I'm saying? If you carry the standard, you see, of Jesus Christ. So our theology is the Bible. That's it. The Word of God. Our organization is the local church. That's what God has established to carry forth the theology, the Bible, to people far and wide. The local church is what God has established on this earth to carry forth the Bible, the Word of God. That's why we're here this morning. The local church, you see. You ought to love the local church. You ought to love it as Jesus loved it. The Bible says He loved it and gave Himself for it. Now, if you don't love the church, you got a problem. Because Jesus died for the church. Amen. I'd be looking around if I didn't love the church, if I didn't like going to church, if I didn't want to go to church, I'd be looking down in here. Because there's somewhere there's a heart problem. Understand? Hear me? The standard is Christ, the Son of God. And so because of that, we're united, you see, to Him, to the exalted head, which is Christ. We're united to Him. What is their standard? Christ and His Word. The Word of God. You can't even separate the two. It's Jesus Christ and His Word. But you know what people are doing theologically now? They're taking things in the Bible they don't like, so they rip them out. Some of you may be doing the same thing. You may just be picking out things you like and leaving the rest of it alone. When it tells us to live holy, what does He mean? Does that mean we're to live holy? Does it mean that? Or do we just can take it and throw it away? No, we got to do what it says. We've got to do everything we can to live holy, do right, you see. Serve God, you see. So our standard is Christ and His Word. We can lay all these other things aside and say, Jesus Christ is my standard. And because He's my standard, I'm going to follow His Word. Are we marching with Christ? Are we putting Christ as the standard of our life? Over in Philippians, the 3rd chapter, tells us that His wonderful name will be exalted above every other name. Exalted. Salvation comes through that name. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Salvation comes through Christ. You can't get to heaven any other way. You understand this? No other way can you get to heaven. If you're trusting in anything other than Jesus Christ, you're trusting in the wrong thing. You must trust in Christ. The power for the Christian walk comes through His name. You want to walk with God? You should want to walk with God. How do you do that? Through Christ. The power of God in your life is through Christ, you see. Salvation comes. The Christian walk comes. Who do we thank for all of that? It's through Jesus Christ comes the victory. I want you to remember, He is our standard. It's His Holy Spirit that produces the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians. The Holy Spirit of God that lives within you if you're a child of God. And Jesus Christ is the standard. We didn't read it all, but that armor that God tells you to put on over in the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter, if you look at that very careful and read it very careful, you'll find out that armor is Christ. What we need is Christ. We need Him, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In fact, in the book of Colossians, it tells us that Christ is the fullness of the Godhead. Folks, I don't know what your troubles are today. I'm sure there's people here who have troubled hearts. I know a group back here that's soon possibly lose their brother. Troubled times. I just want to tell you, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you so much, and He will help you. He'll do what needs to be done. He'll give you wisdom and strength to carry on. I tell you, there may be somebody here today that's a Christian, maybe hadn't been a Christian very long, or maybe a long time, just discouraged with life. Does that happen? Yes, it does. We just get discouraged with life. I want to tell you something. Jesus loves you. Jesus cares for you this morning. And He is the banner that you need to carry. He's the one you need to go to and ask Him for His help. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I just say to you folks, through the Spirit of God will come those wonderful things, the fruit of the Spirit, because Christ is the Godhead. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus Christ. I do not know your problems, but I know the problem solver. I know also the one that sometimes leaves the problems, but gives grace to get you through them. The grace of God is sufficient. Amen. What are you going to carry from this place? What banner are you going to hold high? The banner of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, slain on an old rugged cross, buried in a tomb, raised again, ascending into heaven, sitting at the right hand of God, interceding for us. Isn't that a wonderful banner? Remember Him today and honor His name. We're going to pray. Every head bowed. I want to ask you a question. Say, Brother Ross, I know I'm saved today. I know for sure that if I would die right now, I'd open up my eyes in heaven. Would you just raise your hand, please? Appreciate that. Just raise your hand. Thank you so much. God bless you. Say, Brother Ross, I could not lift my hand up. I just do not know for sure that I'm saved, but I sure would like to know about it. Would you just raise your hand? Say, I'm not sure I'm saved. Just not sure that I'm saved. Christian, you say, I'm here as a Christian, and I need to remember who my Lord is, my Savior is. I need to remember whose banner I should be carrying. It's not my neighbor that's against me. It's not my friend that's turned against me. It's old wrestling with flesh and blood. And Jesus must always be my banner. You say, Brother Ross, I need some help this morning from the Lord. Would you just raise your hand? Say, Brother Ross, I need it. God bless you. I see those hands. I just need something special from the Lord this morning. Thank you so much. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you again today for the wonderful grace of God and all your goodness. Thank you for the privilege of carrying your flag, the banner you've given us, the Son of God. Thank you for His salvation. Thank you for His power to help us walk daily. Thank you, Lord, for everything you give us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.